From the shores of Puget Sound, this is Greener Views, a unique media resource for information, education, consultation, and fun. Greener Views is a part of the Healthy Homecast Network and is brought to you exclusively by HealthyPainting.com and AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Each episode will introduce and connect you with services, products, practices, organizations, and groups that focus on the health, happiness, safety, well-being, charity, and community of all. Find us on the web at www.greenerviews.net. And now, your host, Daryl Whalen.
Okay, well, welcome to episode 23 of Greener Views. I am Daryl Whalen, along with audio engineer Randy Parcell and videographer, is that work? Videographer, Michael Schwartz. On our last episode, which was number 22, our guest was Tony Freis from PigeonPointPC.com and LasVegasTech.net. Joining us this time around is Kevin Moen from Solterra Systems, who will be helping us to answer such questions as, does solar really work in the Northwest? And I'm interested to find out about that. How expensive is solar energy to install on my house, and what are the incentives? I know Randy wants to know about that one. What's the life expectancy of a solar energy system? What type of maintenance is necessary with green roofs? What are the benefits of a green roof, and amongst other things? Greener Views is part of the Healthy Homecast Network and is part of, I'm trying to do this like a fancy, and is brought to you exclusively by HealthyPainting.com and AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Okay, so let's get rolling. Welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Please tell us who you are and who you are representing here today.
All right. Well, my name is Kevin Moen. I'm here representing Solterra Systems. We do everything from solar energy to green roofs and even living walls, so happy to be here today.
Great. Oh, yeah, I forgot. So I've got it marked on living walls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. What is your title or primary role within the company? And please explain in some detail what it is that you do.
Yeah, so I'm a solar consultant. Basically, what I do is I work with people who are interested in solar energy to kind of find out if it's actually something that makes sense for them, if it's going to work in their home and, you know, provide them a return that's valuable. My other jobs include, I do a little bit of engineering as well as project management, kind of oversee some of the jobs that we do in Washington, because we're based in Portland and Seattle, so covering the Northwest with solar and green roofs.
Oh, great. Portland and Seattle. So do you, how far north of Seattle do you go, and how far south of Portland do you go?
Yeah, we'll go all the way up to Bellingham. We'll pretty much do anything in those two states depending on, you know, what size the system is and who we're working with.
But the majority of the work and stuff, like as a business myself, the majority of it would be like in the Puget Sound area.
Definitely, yeah. And that's where we tend to get our interest in, is in the main cities, especially for the green roofs.
Great. So tell us, when did you start this? Why? And how did you get into this position?
All right. Well, I got trained by Solar Energy International last winter, a few months ago. I'm actually new to Solterra, but I'm excited to get started with this year in 2012. Basically got started because I knew a few people that were in the industry, found out a lot about solar energy, thought it was a really cool technology, had a lot of potential, and went ahead and pursued the further training after I graduated from Western Washington University. And I kind of just found myself a perfect position at Solterra where I'm able to do both engineering as well as consulting and have a wide range of responsibilities that really kind of tailors my skill sets. So it all just kind of made sense and came together.
Great. I think it's funny to hear. I figured it had a lot of potential, that whole sun thing. It's been working out pretty good so far. It's an interesting thing. So I'm 50, 51 I'll be this year, and I remember hearing about solar energy and solar power. So I know that Jimmy Carter put solar panels on the White House, and apparently they were taken down whoever it was after that. I do know who it is, but I don't like to talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I thought it was funny when you said I thought it was kind of had a lot of potential, because how long is the solar panels and so, I mean, obviously solar energy has been around since the beginning of time, but
yeah.
How about when was, what do you know about the history of solar panels? And
I mean, I know that there's a big push, you know, back in the 70s and everything. I'm not actually sure when the first solar panels were made. But like you said, you know, there's a lot of political resistance throughout history. And I think that's a big thing that we've had to overcome in our industry. As far as recent times, you know, we've seen a lot of price reductions in the last 2 years, which the reason I bring that up is because it just shows a demand as well as economies of scale. So despite the kind of obstacles in the past, it's definitely something that's gaining a lot of momentum. And with the help of government incentives, you know, is catching on, and a lot of people are very interested in, and we install a ton of systems in the Northwest right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to mention the incentive of the increasing like energy prices and the mm-hmm. depletion of fossil fuels, and also there's something going on with the climate and stuff like that we might want to tend to too.
Yeah, definitely.
This is kind of a silly question to me, but who does this best serve? What your company offers, and who, and therefore who's your target clientele?
Well, I mean, our target clientele is really someone who's concerned with the environment. There's lots of great benefits to solar. There's lots of financial advantages. But what we find are the people that come after, you know, wanting us to work for them is those people that actually care about the bigger picture of where their energy is coming from. I actually recently spoke with a gentleman who's got a business in Portland. And, you know, one of the things that struck me in our conversation when I was talking to him about, you know, whether this would be a good fit for him, is he runs a little tech business, and because of that, he uses a ton of electricity. And he said, I kind of feel like it's my duty to offset, you know, that extra draw that I'm producing or that I'm creating. And those are the kind of people who feel like, you know, maybe they do have a responsibility towards the bigger picture, that tend to be the ones that fit with what we're doing and, you know, ultimately end up getting solar and see the real advantages to it.
Great. Well, we had Tony Freiss from the PC guy last week, and he talked about the e-waste and everything mm-hmm. that's involved in that industry. So it's one of those good versus evil things, and
right.
Trying to figure out a way to make both of them harmonious and work together in the world is a good thing. Why do you personally consider what you do important?
Well, for one thing, you know, what I look to do in my lifetime is really help create sustainability in cultures and society. I see solar energy as the only carbon offset is the actual manufacturing of the panels themselves and all the other devices. And so you're going to have a minimal effect when you're looking at carbon effects. It's very sustainable from an energy standpoint. And so I feel like, especially in my generation, it's going to be very important for us to be able to spread different resources or different methods of creating energy, especially based on regions. And, you know, I know we'll get to it a little bit later, but it seems like it's kind of a strange place to be putting solar in Seattle. And there are places that can benefit from it even more. But I just feel like getting that push in these areas where the different things work, like hydro in Washington or solar energy anywhere that the sun shines, you know, that's a great way to advance our technologies and help us create a bunch of energy without a whole bunch of emissions as a side effect.
So this is a relatively related question, but what are you most passionate about?
Yeah, well, I'm most passionate about creating sustainability, because to me, you know, nature and Earth is a wonderful, amazing place, and I feel like the fact that we are able to be here, we have a responsibility to help create a sustainable living condition and environment where we can continue to enjoy it for decades and centuries to come. You know, that's what really drives me. I really want to have a big impact on creating those communities that feel that same way and have the ability to hire people that want to help create those communities, that they can be fully sustainable from the energy to the materials that they use, you know, a lot more local production of certain things and just help spur that movement, which I think is going to be a big part of helping the future become more sustainable as population increases and resources diminish.
Population. So please tell us at least one thing that most people probably wouldn't know about yourself or your business or or solar energy and all that stuff in general.
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as Solterra goes, one thing that most people don't know or one thing that we do is living walls. It's not something we promote that heavily, and there's not a huge demand for it. But living walls are basically just having plants indoors on a wall. And there's a lot of really cool benefits to that, one of them being an improved air quality. There's some companies that put living walls in their building to help make that environment inside a little bit more fresh and a little bit better air quality throughout the whole entire area, as well as restaurants who have put in living walls and actually picked produce from the wall inside of their restaurant to put in their meals, which you can't get any fresher than that. And, you know, that's a really cool product that we put out that most people aren't aware of. And the few people that are that really want to pursue it, we've actually been tracked down because we don't actively market it very often by a few different consumers who come and found us because they think it's such a cool technology and want to make sure that they get the people who know what they're doing to get that installed.
So it's so you kind of have a middle ground between the solar installation and everything, but you're also doing some version of like landscaping and stuff with that.
Yeah, I mean, living walls are basically indoor landscaping or indoor, you know, gardens. And then the living roofs themselves are the same way. You've got living plant life, and it can vary a ton between a very simple system and something that is able to produce food outside and, you know, a whole different variety of plant life as well as, you know, just all those other things that the eco walls and eco roofs have to offer along with it.
Yeah, and I've got some more questions about living walls as we get down to the other ones.
Yeah.
But so what is your personal mission statement for your life?
My personal mission statement.
Kevin Moen, what is your mission statement?
My mission statement is to create sustainable communities through building development and new technologies.
That sounds like a good mission. Now, what about the mission? Is there a particular mission statement of the company?
Well, Solterra's mission is really, I mean, it's along those same lines. Word for word, I couldn't recite it off the top of my head. But, you know, Solterra Systems, instead of a mission statement, I'd rather kind of describe the culture and what we're about. What we're all about is taking on projects that no one else does. Our business model is much more of one where instead of the cookie cutter, and this is perfectly fine, there's a great place for those companies that just want to do as many residential systems as possible. You know, they drive down costs. That's awesome. That helps spread them. But oftentimes those guys will hand us work because it's things they don't want to take on. We're about pushing the envelope, trying new things, and getting out there and doing things no one's done before. We just installed a 100-kilowatt system on a warehouse down in Portland last December. And, you know, that's more than some of the smaller companies will do in a year. We're also part of this project called in the Northwest Harvest House in Kirkland, where they're putting a 20-kilowatt system in, and they have the capability of being entirely off-grid. They are tied in, but there's literally a flip of a switch that disconnects them from the grid, and they're producing all their own power, storing it in a battery bank, and are basically ready to go for Armageddon because they're reliant only on themselves to produce all the energy that they need in that home. That home is very well designed in the respect that it's extremely efficient, but 20 kilowatts is a system that, you know, will power most homes for all their energy needs on the majority of days throughout the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can assure you if there really is such a thing as Armageddon, that house is not going to hold up. I was wondering, let's say the average home, one family, you know, two bedroom or three bedroom house, two bath. What? How many square foot is that? 1,500 or something?
Yeah.
How many kilowatts of solar energy or power would you install on a job like that on an average?
Yeah, on an average, you'd probably be looking at like 5 kilowatts.
5 kilowatts.
Yeah. Again, it varies very much between different families and different clients and what they're looking to gain.
Different needs.
Yeah.
And stuff.
I mean, some people. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. some people are looking to gain a little bit quicker of a return on their investment, and we can use certain products and certain designs to achieve that. Some people want to create the most electricity for the lowest dollar over the lifetime of their system, and that's going to be something that we can definitely design for as well. And so, you know, on average, you're probably looking at about a four, somewhere between 3 and 5 for the average single family home for kilowatts.
Yeah. So, you've already kind of gone into the next, actually, couple of questions here. Like, what separates your business from others that may be offering something similar? Do you want to go into that a little bit deeper?
Yeah.
Tell us some more things that you offer that other people... We know that some of these projects that are maybe too big for some companies,
yeah,
they get your way. What are some other things, maybe not necessarily just the size of the job, but other things that separate you from everybody else that does this?
Well, you know, from an install standpoint, I think one of the biggest advantages we have over our competition is we're certified roofers. Not many solar people are certified roofers. Mm. So to be able to get your roofing done and your solar in the same company, that's a big advantage that we have. You know, we do the green roofs. So what people that really want to go all the way do is they get a green roof and they throw a solar system on top of it. And that's a really awesome setup because green roofs last a very, very long time. The solar system is actually cooled by the green roof, so it performs more efficiently. And if at any point we have to do penetrations, which you have to do fairly often in a roof when you're installing solar, you know, that's something we can do in-house. It's under the same guarantee, and that's all taken care of by us versus having some outside contractor come in or some third party having to be involved. So from the business standpoint, that's definitely something that we have that a lot of our competition doesn't. And then like we just talked about, you know, if you really want to do something amazing, if you want to push the envelope of what you're able to do, then we're the company to come talk to and find out what we can make happen.
Great. Yeah, so we'll actually get a little bit more into green roofs too. We'll get into each of those things a little bit more in the next question or two. So what are some of the challenges of the industry that you can offer solutions to? Like, for instance, you know, things out there that are happening that are giving it a bad name, or things that people are out there doing, mm-hmm, that don't necessarily work out so well. How's that for BMPC?
Right.
But is there anything that comes to mind with that?
Well, I mean, on two different fronts, and solar and eco roofs both have their own challenges, right? I would say, like many situations, education is one of the best things that we can do, right? so many people are uninformed on solar energy, and to get out there and kind of help them see what the benefits are, and for my perspective and my job is really to design the system that's right for them, right? Too many times someone will try to push a system or sell the biggest thing they can, and that's not always the best thing for that consumer. One of the other things that we really do at Solterra is help people realize ways they can make their home more efficient. Instead of living the way they currently do and just building a gigantic system that'll cover all their energy needs, we see it more as, why don't we help them lower their energy needs as much as possible with better appliances, with a tighter envelope, whatever it might be, or give them suggestions of gains they can make. Get that down to a very reasonable level, and then let's cover a ton of that with solar energy, right? Because those two playing together is a big key and moving forward with just not consuming too much electricity and this kind of need to just over consume that I think a lot of people have in this this neck of the world. As far as eco roofs go, you know, they're very new and they don't have a ton of test data behind them just yet. And that's kind of tricky because some people are uneasy about moving forward with them because they don't have the test data, but you don't get test data without a bunch of people moving forward. And so for those people, I would just encourage them to make sure they're working with someone who really knows what they're doing. Because with an eco roof, you need someone who's an expert in that field who can design it for that region, for your needs. I mean, there are so many factors that come into those roofs that you need to know what you're doing, from the plant life to the depth of the soil to the building to the microclimates and everything in between. As long as someone knows what they're doing and knows the region, they can design that well, it's going to perform extremely well. If they don't, they use a few of the wrong components and this and that, and it fails, that's how potential bad reps can get formed. And that's something I really want to make sure that people understand and do their research in who they're hiring. Make sure they hire the professionals and not the guys who are just putting soil on a roof and trying to grow some grass.
Great. So I'm going to get into some. We're going to get into some of the more of the details of each of these items that we were talking about already, and we want to keep in mind that for the average layperson that may not know all this stuff, it's interesting that I imagine that solar panels and solar roofs and solar energy, the industry in general has probably been around for decades and decades longer than we even think it was,
That's true.
But it's still, as you know, I'm a healthy painter, and there's different products and methods and stuff of like doing it, and you'll still find people say, oh, I didn't even know there was like healthier paint.
Right.
And so let's just kind of keep it on the real simpler level. Why don't we talk about what exactly is solar energy? Is there something more to it than just being something that comes from the sun?
Well, I mean, the beautiful thing about solar energy is it is very simple. It's literally just the sun hitting the panel, and the panel takes the electrons and puts it in your house, and electrons are electricity. That's one of the beautiful things about those panels is the fact that, you know, with all these other renewable kind of energies, like wind power, for example, or hydroelectricity, you always have moving parts, right, and friction. And with the panels, you don't have any of that stuff, and that's one of the ways that they last for a long time. But really, you know, what is solar energy? It being photovoltaic, that's just the breakdown of what the electricity term is. It's all it is the sun hitting a panel, and the panel taking that electron and filtering that through wires into your home.
So what exactly is so that's the panels. So basically a solar roof is just a roof that has solar panels in it?
Yep. I mean, a solar energy system just consists of panels and the racking system that holds it onto the roof. And then an inverter, because that energy you get from those panels is DC. And then we need AC for our homes, so an inverter takes that and converts it. Throw a couple switches in there for safety for the linesmen and the utility companies, and you're tied up to the grid. You're producing the energy you consume in your house. We've got different meters that we'll talk about a little bit later what their point is to kind of read the energy we're producing, and that's the system.
Great. So most people know about solar panels that go on roofs, and they see them occasionally. You'll see them in people's yards and off the sides of the roads and stuff. And now they have them, they have them in the gardens and everything for the lights and everything.
Right.
But let's sticking mainly to energizing. Oh, are there any other types of panels that are used in the home energy field or energizing potential that aren't necessarily on the roof?
That's the most common form for sure. Your crystalline type panels, which is what most people are used to seeing and probably would identify with that. The only other thing that's coming on is a film. It's something that they use on metal roofs, and you basically apply it like tape. That's a really cool technology, and I see that one as having a ton of potential.
Yeah.
It's just not quite
there yet.
But that's how everything starts, you know. So that's something where I've heard talk of, you know, why can't we build a house that's got that incorporated in the siding or incorporated in the roof right off the manufacturer's floors? And that's where I think it could really play big in the future. Other than that, I think that the only other forms you're going to see is people tinkering and doing their own little things. I personally took on a little project where I built a little solar charger that has a USB plug for your iPod or your smartphone or whatever, and that's just because I found it enjoyable, and, you know, you can find that in my home made with some renewable materials. But really, you know, there aren't a whole lot of other applications, and mainly it's because we want to harvest that sun in the best conditions, and your roof is just ideal, and it's not taking up any real estate that's overly valuable for other purposes, in the respect that the footprint is consuming something that's already there, already established, and ready to just absorb energy and turn it into a useful form in your home.
So great. I've got a lot of questions now, because this is all really, really good stuff. I have a lot of questions. I don't know that they're good ones, but you talked about the thing that homes aren't necessarily run exclusively off of solar.
Mm-hmm.
So well, on the average house in, say, Seattle, obviously, it wouldn't necessarily, like if you live down in like Arizona or like in Nevada or somewhere where it's always hot, I would imagine that you have the potential for a greater percentage of the,
I mean,
the home's energy to be run off of solar. Is that correct?
Yeah, and you know, we specifically target not powering an entire home off of solar for a few reasons. One thing, well, to answer your other question first, I mean, definitely, you know, Arizona is like one of the best places in the world for solar. What we use to measure those are called peak sun hours, and a peak sun hour is when 1,000 watts is hitting a square meter for 1 hour. That's one solar hour, and that's how we rate cities, right? And so different areas of the world are going to have a higher rating, and yeah, with the same system, you're going to collect more in one of those places. But the percentage of the difference between those places is a lot less than most people think. So let's, I guess this is a good time to jump to that question that we were going to talk about, which is, does solar work in Seattle? Well, the thing that's crazy is, you know, Southern California, we all think of that as a sunny place. It is. It's sunny all the time. I've got friends who send photos during Christmas saying, hey, what's it like up there? And they're on the beach and it's sunny out, right? Well, we get 20% less sun than them. We get
Which isn't that much less.
We get 80% of the sun of Southern California. And that's using that metric of sun peak hours. So, you know, that's pretty impressive in itself for just comparing those. And, you know, the best way to try to understand how that's possible is even on a cloudy day, even on a day where it's not beautiful, bright, and sunny like those California days you think about, you can still produce solar electricity. When I made that little thing I was just talking about, right? The day I built it, it was completely overcast, no brightness in the sky. I tested it outside and it worked just fine. You know, you're still collecting solar rays and it's still coming through. It's just not those completely clear-skied sunny days
in California. But there's still light. I mean, it's not pitch black.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, we can always size systems to meet people's needs. We have clients who want to power their whole home, and we can do that just fine as long as they have the area for it. But a lot of times we size the system smaller for one reason. There's a couple disadvantages to producing more than you consume as far as a monetary standpoint goes. So, you know, for most people, we want to make sure that we're within their consumption. The second thing is we find that when we work with clients and help educate them on these things and they're becoming more aware of their energy usages and watching their bill and aware of what's drawing and how it's drawing, that their consumption comes down just because of all those things and us working with them and, you know, them just caring a little bit more. And so for those two reasons, we generally don't try to design a system to be 100% of their consumption. Usually try for around 50%, come up with some of the other things that make the home more efficient, and then there's a little bit of a difference there. Of course, if their goal was to do more, they could do more for sure.
So, but California's drain is, what is it, smog and broken dreams?
Right, yeah. Really, yeah.
So what about, what are the amount of peak sun hours that we have, is in like measurement-wise, in Seattle?
In Seattle, on average, it's about, it's a little over 3.6 per day.
3.6.
So that's, you know, that's a measurement of that metric throughout the daytime. In the summertime, it's going to be higher. In the wintertime, it's going to be a little bit lower. Different days, it's going to vary a lot. But that's about average throughout our region. And you compare that to Germany, and I don't know, for all the people out there might not be aware, but Germany is by far the world leader in solar. They have like half the market in the world almost.
I heard like every other home practically has a solar roof.
Exactly. Yeah. And they get 20% less than Seattle gets.
Wow.
They're higher in latitude, and they get a little bit less of those peak sun hours. And so you know, that number, it might not seem that high, but relatively speaking in the world and compared to even California, you know, we're right in the mix of things. And so it's kind of exciting and not.
So let's say 3.5, you said about approximately.
Mm-hmm. It's a little higher, but we use that number to use that number to be conservative because we like to over deliver on
that. Better
be
safe than sorry.
Exactly.
So approximately what does 3.5 hours of Seattle sunlight convert into energy-wise?
Well, that depends on your system because that's the thing about the system size. So let's say you've got a 5-kilowatt system. We're going to take those 5,000 watts and multiply those by the amount of peak hours, and that's going to give you kilowatt hours.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's going to vary on that system size and the amount of light that you're getting in the day. So every day is going to be different. That's fairly simple math. Medical equations to find out exactly what it's doing.
We'll let people call you up and have them come over and do the math.
Yeah.
Because, go ahead.
And the other thing that's really cool about some of the systems is you can actually track online the amount of energy you've produced, which is a really cool feature. And that's one of the things that I really love for those guys who are a little bit more techy and like to be really involved in their system and kind of monitor it and all that stuff, is you can actually measure what you've actually put out, not theoretical, the actual amount, and then kind of follow up with the numbers we talked about and see, wow, you know, this stuff really is working, you know.
So one last question about the Seattle, the number that you threw out earlier, or the Puget Sound area in general. Right. That's based on Seattle.
It'll vary a little bit.
So what about? So you talked about the average home getting approximately a 5 kilowatt system.
Mm-hmm.
So what percentage of of the home's energy? Approximately.
It's insane how much the same house will vary
in
their usage due to the appliances or the people.
Yeah.
but that will easily cover 50%.
Oh, okay. That's pretty significant.
Yeah. And, you know, that 5 kilowatt system, that's on the larger end of the average. It's usually 3 to 5. But, again, it's going to depend on what people's needs are and what they want to accomplish.
Yeah, eventually we'd like to get a solar panel manufacturer on the show and talk about it a little, that particular, area. Cause I don't want to spend too much time on that, cause I all of a sudden have like a ton of questions. How about real briefly, can you talk about the advancement over time of the solar panels and, you know, how hip are they right now in 2012 as far as like their quality and their technology?
Right. So, let's start with the quality. The quality has always been good with solar just because of what I was speaking to earlier, which is there's no friction.
So simple.
Yeah,
I
studied engineering in school, you know, one of the things you first learn is friction and its effect on everything, and there's none of that going on there, right? So the panels are usually guaranteed or warrantied for 25 or 30 years, right? And that's always been good, but there's this company now called Silicon Energy, and they manufacture in Washington, and they make a glass-on-glass panel. And that's a really cool panel because what they do to demonstrate it to us when we're in their lab is they have one set up on the floor suspended in the air a little bit, and they'll get like 4 grown men up on it jumping on it. And so that's just to demonstrate how strong these panels are. That's a glass panel with 4 grown men just jumping on it, and that's what's on your roof. And so the durability is very good as well because, you know, the longevity is one aspect, but you want the durability to be there as well, too. And as far as efficiency goes, you know, it was just a few years ago that panels were only in like the 150-watt range for an average. And now you're seeing ones that are up in 250. And that's a great advancement as well, while price is coming down. You know, more people are adopting it. The demand increases. The prices are able to drop down because of scales of economy and all those other things. So, you know, from the pricing perspective, in the last 3 years, we've seen them come down almost half. A few manufacturers have come out of the game, and that is kind of keeping it still where it is right now. So this is kind of like that sweet spot where you've got the people who are in it for the long run, you've had those big advances, and, you know, you're producing more electricity with less square area than ever before, so that's always a good benefit when you're dealing with limitations of roof sizes, which is sometimes a limitation of the system size.
Great. Wow. So, hey, listen, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And we're here with Kevin Mullen from Solterra Systems. This is episode 23 of Greener Views. And see you in a few minutes.
You are listening to Greener Views.
Gravity connects me to the earth, which connects me to people who connect me to myself more honestly in gravity. Me to the crust, which connects to the leaves on the trees that make it possible to breathe. Came to rest on the minefield, blessed with naive mind shield, like a helmet. They would tell us that we don't know how we feel or how to connect with other people on the planet. Oh, if we only knew the power in each blue, disillusioned little. In the vision of one resides all, destroy the individual, for this is critical. The self ain't everything, hands to grasp, to cling, to mask material vastly shipwrecked beings. At last, release the greed amassed with capitalist tasks and contact. The mass communication is all we have in dwindling fast.
Okay, we're back. And we had an extended break there. We had a lot of stuff to talk about and some decisions that had to be made because we're having such a great time here and getting so much great information here with Kevin Moen from Soul Terra System that we realize that we can probably pack 2+ shows into one night. And so we're going to have him back. And we got a couple more quick questions about solar. And then we're going to have Kevin come back and talk a little bit more detailed about the green roofs and the living walls and stuff. And so let's see. The first question was, how expensive is solar energy to install on my house here in the Puget Sound area, or the general area here, the Northwest? And what are the incentives?
Yeah, so on average, the system is going to cost anywhere between $15,000 to $40,000 at the retail price. So then when you take the incentives into account, the first incentive is a federal incentive, and that's a 30% tax credit. And the thing that I really want people to know about that is it's a tax credit, which is a lot different than like a rebate. It's a dollar-for-dollar credit, so you basically get all that money taken off that system, and that's an awesome incentive. A Washington-based incentive is production. So basically this is saying however much energy you produce. So this is a very important thing to understand. It doesn't mean you sell it back. It doesn't mean you consume it in your house. It means your system produced it, and we install that meter. It goes to it before it goes anywhere else, so we know all that energy you produced. You get paid 15 cents per kilowatt hour that you produce by any system, and you get 54 cents per kilowatt hour for the Washington-made systems. Now, that's pretty incredible because people are paying, you know, 7 to 11 at the very highest for their energy, and Washington's willing to pay you 54 cents for that same energy if you produce it in your own home. I mean, that's just a reflection of the fact that we need to be generating electricity. And they're willing to pay people to get these systems installed so that we can start spreading out that responsibility of creating energy. So those are great, as well as the fact that you don't pay sales tax in Washington. Plus, you have your whole net metering benefit. All the energy you're producing is reducing your bill. You can actually, some people have those new digital meters, which we don't like as much because they're not as fun. Because with the old school ones that actually have the little disc that's spinning, you can watch it on a summer day stop and turn back because you're feeding energy back to the grid and you're making money off that on top of those production incentives.
Wow.
And there's also some commercial grade incentives like accelerated depreciation and things along those lines. And that's all in Washington State. As far as Portland goes, I don't work too much down there, but I know that those incentives can almost make the whole system half off.
Wow.
You don't get it paid all up front.
Yeah.
But
incrementally.
But people are basically getting half off their systems in the big picture of their incentives. So for pretty much anyone who looks into it, who really is interested in renewable energy, it's almost a no-brainer down there. So that's a really a good region for us, too.
It sounds like, without getting into the details of it too much, sounds like a no-brainer here, too, because it sounds like if you have the right kind of system and it's efficient, that it sounds like eventually you're just going to be getting money back.
Yeah, and, you know, just since we're on the money issue, the payback used to be like 15 years for these systems, even 20, you know, 5 years ago or so. We're down to having the payback on that system being at about 10 years right now. It can be anywhere from 8 to like 12, depending on that system, which is just incredible. There's not a ton of investments that are going to pay back in that amount of time and continue to give as far as renewable energy is concerned. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer, but I'm a little biased.
Well, I would hope so. So did you want to touch really briefly on the solar heating? Oh, no, we're not going to touch on it. We're just going to let you know that Solterra Systems is completely equipped and knowledgeable about putting solar hot water heating in, but we're not going to talk about that right now. Solar hot water heating. What about, let's see, okay, the last question on solar, well, not the last question, but in the details of it, what is the life expectancy of a solar energy system? I know you touched on that earlier in the program, but can you elaborate on that a little bit, please?
Yeah. The expectancy is about 30 years for those panels, but of course we need to consider the inverter. That's definitely an expensive part of the system. Inverters are guaranteed for 10 years, and there's a newer setup. It's got a microinverter. So like I was saying before, you have DC that you create with your panels, and that needs to be turned into AC for your home. Well, a traditional system does that all through one central inverter. Well, this new system, it's an alternative, does it right at the panel. They're called microinverters. So every panel has its own little inverter. And that's a really cool technology that I totally forgot why we were going on that one.
Which is fine. I'd say what you were going as, it's safe to say that we've only got more and more good things to look forward to,
right,
and being more efficient and stuff.
And that one maximizes your output as well. So that's a really cool system when it comes to shading and everything else.
Sweet. Okay. Well, listen, let's get into our next little group of questions here. What would you say, let's see, how many, we talked about Germany a little bit, and I have heard before that it's just amazing. I mean, a lot of the countries besides the United States are, you know, a lot bigger and a lot of stuff, especially energy and environment and stuff wise, that we're finally coming around to a lot of it and trying to play catch up. what would you say, the amount of people that are getting energy from solar? Do you have some kind of figure on that?
As far as worldwide?
Percentage. Let's just talk about the Puget Sound area, the Seattle area.
Yeah.
How many people have some type of solar system implemented
their house? I really don't know as far as numbers of households, but we can think of it like this. If the average system is 3 to 5 kilowatts, we're installing far more than hundreds of kilowatts per year. And that's one company out of multiple companies. And we like to think more on the kilowatt scale than the household scale, because what the goal is to produce the most energy. And like I was mentioning, with a couple bigger jobs, we did 148 kilowatts in 1 month last year, in December alone. So that's a big deal as far as getting that spread of energy created and really doing a big difference.
Is there somewhere that people can go to go online or whatever, or some type of library book or some kind of thing that would really give people the up-to-date information, the ABCs and the 101 on solar and the solar panels and the installation?
Solar Energy International is a great resource. They do a lot of educating, but they're always, in my mind, they're kind of the authority to go to for solar information. They're going to be a good place to also get more specific answers to the questions. Incentives can be something that a lot of people are interested in, and there's resource links on there. And that's kind of like the home base, I'd have to say.
I imagine that whole world is just constantly like evolving and changing by the minute.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a way, Solar Energy International is a way to people to keep up on all that information and the changes. So what helpful advice, you did touch on it earlier, but I thought I put them down at the end. So maybe what helpful advice do you have for someone that's seeking the type of services you offer? Our show is international. Mm-hmm. If somebody perhaps in a, we know that we want people to look at you guys first in this area, obviously, but in other areas, what kind of advice do you have someone seeking your type of service that just doesn't really know?
I would say that, be careful, not just be careful, but just really make sure that who you're working with has your best interest in mind. And I mean, that seems like an obvious thing to say. But the fact is that I, in my company, we would never sell someone a system that didn't make sense for them, or solar if it doesn't, So just look for the kind of the ways they talk about it, the fact that they're telling you what the pros and cons are, because, not every type of alternative energy is going to be right for everybody. So when you're dealing with these, when you're getting consulting, just make sure that they seem to be well knowledged in the different things available and are really working with you to find the right system or technology for you. Just very important with making sure you're happy and finding the best fit.
Great. So this is the point that we, and of course we will encourage anybody to contact Kevin and his company, and we'll put that on the site, and it'll be on the video, and we'll bring it up here at the very end. So we get into like a little bit of the personal. We call it a lot of things. I call it the hippy dippy stuff. It's just because of how I grew up. But so who or what has had the greatest impact on your life and the influences, successes that you've had so far at 24 years of age?
This is a slightly different kind of direction, but just entrepreneurship in general. I worked for a company called Student Painters, and actually a ton of the people at Solterra used to work there as well. And it really taught me what hard work was and that you can really build anything that you want with your own time and effort and if you care enough about it. And I'd say that showed me that, you know, for having a vision and having a few abilities, that you can really accomplish anything you've set your mind to. And so I love Solterra, I love solar energy, but I know that one day I will want to run my own business, and that's something I look forward to, and I want it just to be aimed at creating sustainable communities and kind of that bigger picture that I really want to be a part of in the future.
Great. So without any regard to the confines of any particular subject, are there any particular books or authors that have been a big inspiration to you?
John C. Maxwell. Again, kind of with that whole leadership side of things, just being able to know yourself and know your abilities, basically fine-tune your strengths and lead with what you do best has been a big part of me becoming who I am and the leader aspect of my life. And, you know, because of those things, I am able to go and talk about my passions and renewable energy and make a difference. So those have definitely been a big part of the educational aspect of getting to where I'm at.
Great. Yeah, you're doing a great job. So what do you see as the main responsibility we have to ourselves during our lifetime?
Well, you know, I definitely think that that's a very individual question for each individual. But mine personally is just helping to preserve all the natural, basically, I guess you could call it just systems that are out there. You know, there's a lot of things that we do that go and kind of affect the harmonious effect of the earth, if you will. And I really think that all ties into sustainability, and that's why I've said that word a few times today. But, you know, that's exactly what I want to bring is more of that to the work that I do and help the systems that are in place continue to be.
Well, we just clicked the counter on the sustainability word mentioned since the podcast started about a year ago, and you just hit 183, so I wouldn't worry about it. Let's see. So what do you see as our responsibility to all the other life forms on the planet?
Yeah, I mean, it's along those same lines. You know, we only have a finite amount of resources, so I'd say our responsibility is to find ways to make those last as long as possible and preserve habitats along the way.
So let's see. So and that's fantastic. I'm right there with you. Aside from all the great things that you're doing with the company that you're working in, do you have any other opinion on what we can do to that will have the most impact to accomplish those things?
I would say in general, and I kind of touched on this before, but just really utilizing local resources. You know, there is no one solution in my mind to the energy situation that we're in and going to be entering into. I think it's awesome that Washington State has a lot of dams because the Columbia River, by definition, is the most powerful river in the nation. You know, that's a great thing for us to do is to utilize all that energy. I think that windy valleys should use all that wind power. I think that sunny areas of the earth should have solar power. I think that what we should do is look to educate ourselves and explore the different technologies and where they can be best be utilized and do that, utilize them in those areas, move forward with new technologies that offspring into other technologies and create new things, you know. It's kind of like this. I was on a team in school and college at Western Washington University called the XPRIZE team. And what this was a competition with one of the biggest pots ever, which for automotive competition, which is a 10 million grand prize for teams to build a 100 mile per gallon equivalent car.
I've heard of that.
Equivalent car contest. Meaning, yeah, you can have hybrids and there's formulas to figure out the equivalence there. But the whole point of that was the government knows if they put $10 million pot up, they're going to get so much more technology out of all these individuals, all these entrepreneurs, all these people out there doing their own thing, building. And, you know, even if it's not just for the money, it's because they can fund it eventually, that they get these technologies that come from that. And, you know, I think that everyone pursuing what their own passion is and utilizing their strengths and moving forward with that is one of the greatest things that we can do as an individual.
Wow. Yeah, you're a great guy. I love you.
Thanks.
I like the thing about, I think that the neat thing that you said was the fact that the planet is like, there's so much variety in honoring each little pockets of that variety to its like fullest potential.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. So what groups or organizations do you support or are you affiliated with?
I think Habitat for Humanity is a great group. I've worked with them in the past. You know, there's a lot of different local companies like the Eco Guild and all those guys like that. You know, they do great things, and definitely like getting involved with them and just helping them with that whole big picture that they're a part of as well.
Yeah, great. Well, they were, the president, Cherry, was on our show.
Nice.
Yeah, last fall or late last summer.
Yeah, they're great.
So do you have any particular links or web addresses or whatever, aside from your own, we'll get into that, but for any of these things that you support that you wanted to shout out?
Like the Eco Guild is a really great one.
Yeah.
And Habitat for Humanity, if you're interested in that stuff, getting on their mailer list, they're always looking for people to help out, doing simple things where they'll teach you on the spot, or if you have a little bit of construction experience, you know, building houses for people that need them and, you know, trying to do them in a sustainable way as well. Those are two really good organizations, I should say.
Great. So what about Solterra Systems? What contact phone number, email address?
Yes. Yeah, so
website?
Use Your Roof is the website. And anyone out there interested in learning more can contact me directly at kmoen@solterrasystems.com. And my last name is M-O-E-N. So, yeah, any questions, any inquiries, just feel free to shoot me an email and try to get back to them as soon as possible.
You guys got a phone number? Still using phones these days?
Yeah, and people can feel free also for my personal mobile, and that's 253-508-1705.
Great. So are there any specific events or offers or information that you want to share with us that's like coming up in the near future? Obviously, if it's in the next week, it might not get up, but...
Yeah.
Anything from like a week out from now or a week and a half?
Yeah, and a few events are coming up in the next couple weeks. The Seattle Home Show's the February 18th to 16th. Portland Yard and Garden Show is February 17th to 19th. And then the Solar Expo in Portland is April 25th to 28th. We'll be there at those, and there's a lot of really cool companies doing a lot of cool things. During our break, we were talking about a guy who does LED lights, and you know, those are a great energy-saving technology, and there's just a whole bunch of different things that homeowners can go and find new things that they've probably never heard of before. I find something new every single year, so I recommend those shows for anyone who's interested in learning.
That's a shout-out to Randy King, by the way, too, from Northwest LED. I've been wanting to get him on the show forever. So before, do you have any wise advice or helpful hints or final words that you want to leave us with?
Really, I mean, just pursue your passions out there. Anything's possible if you really try hard enough for it, and good luck moving forward with everything.
Great. So, okay, you've been listening to episode 22 of Greener Views. We'd like to thank this episode's guest, Kevin Moen, for joining us. Thanks for sharing a bit of your world through this podcast interview. We hope you enjoyed your time spent with us today. So does anybody have anything that they need to ask or put out before we wrap this up, guys? Great. Okay, our next show, episode 23. We'll have to wait and see who shows up for that one. We're still working on that. On behalf of myself, Daryl Whalen, and our crew, Randy Parcell and Michael Schwartz, we'd like to say a heartfelt thank you. Special consideration goes to AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Please check them out. Music on this episode is provided by John Henry Scully at SlapJazz.com, Dan Fagens at DanFagens.com, and J.D. Hobson at J.D.Hobson.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts on ideal guests and topics for the show. You can email us at info at greenerviews.net or call 206-650-4587. Make your day extra special by checking out greenerviews.net and youtube.com/greenerviews for the video version of our shows, where you'll also find more information over the coming weeks. And lastly, Greenerviews is part of the Healthy Homecast Network. So please go check out the other like-minded podcasts and businesses over at healthyhomecast.com. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Greenerviews is part of the Healthy Homecast Network. Check out all their conscientious and sustainably focused podcast programs and businesses at healthyhomecast.com. Greener Views is created, developed, and produced by Daryl Whalen. Our audio engineer is Randy Parcell. Our video engineer is Michael Schwartz of AmbrosiaDigitalMedia.com. Music for this episode was provided by SlapJazz.com, DanFagins.com, and JDHobson.com. Your feedback is important. Please feel free to contact us with any comments or questions, including suggestions for guests and program topics. You can call us at 206-650-4587 or send a direct email to info@greenerviews.net. Be sure to check back often. New episodes coming soon.